Welcome to The Brains Behind It, the official podcast of brainhackers.com. The source for smart strategies to improve your life, one brain hack at a time. In this podcast, we talk to the leaders and innovators behind great organizations and find out the secret to their success. Here's your host, editor-in-chief of brainhackers.com and two-time Guinness record holder for memory, Dave Farrow.
Hey there, brain hackers. Dave Farrow here. I'm talking to Marek Rosenberg. He is an expert on the birds. So whenever you hear somebody who's an older generation going, that's just for the birds. Well, this is what he was talking about. No, it wasn't what he was talking about, but he's going to talk about psychology and your mindset. All right, Marek, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
All right, so if nobody's ever heard about what I mean by the birds, I did a crappy joke in the beginning of this intro. Tell us the psychology behind this concept.
Sure. Well, there's four core personality styles. Yep. And you know, you can see them over my shoulder. We've got eagles, parrots, doves, and owls. Mm-hmm. And each one of us, we've got all four of them in us, but we're a combination of all four of them, and they each have different traits and characteristics that describe who we are, how we act, how we get along with others.
Yeah. Now, it should be said that you didn't come up with this. This is a very well-known thing. You're one of the best practitioners of it, but the birds is like a derived from psychology tests. What's the history on this? This goes back quite a ways, right?
Exactly right. Well, maybe I linked the four birds to the four styles, but the four styles have been around for thousands of years. They go back to Aristotle and ancient Greek civilization, the Native American medicine wheel. And the cool thing about it is that
And a lot of really good science and stuff from the 1970s and 80s where they defined these four strong personality types.
Oh, yeah. You know, you see it in every culture, in different religions, psychologists, professors, all over the world. And it's the same four everywhere we go.
All right. So to kind of be like really short about it, the eagles are the leaders. The peacocks, they want to look good and show off.
The
doves. Or so the parrots. I keep on thinking. The parrots. The parrots want to look good. The doves. They want peace. They want people to get along. And the owls are interested in how things work and information.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. So how would you say that somebody can figure out which one they are? Because I was saying how I've looked into this before. It's similar personality tests, and I am mostly owl. But I've learned or adapted to be a hawk because I'm a CEO of a company and everything. I had to be a leader. What would you say about that? That there's like a way you can adapt and learn these skills?
Yeah. Well, first you can learn your style by taking an assessment, but the reality is that we really have all four of them, and we probably have one or two which are like home base for you, and they're easy, they're natural. The other skills, you can display any behavior, but the reality is you probably have one or two styles that are just your core behaviors.
Okay, so what would you say to somebody who is, I encountered this a lot where there's a lot of people who are doves and they think everybody should be a dove. And they think if the whole world would be perfect if everybody was just a dove and a peacemaker. And I go into them and I say, well, you know, if you have a totalitarian government that's taking over and everyone's a dove, that government's going to take over really easily, you know?
Right.
You need some rebels. You need, you know, if you're in Star Wars and Luke Skywalker was a dove, he would not have done very well, you know? So we need all of these, right?
Yeah, you need them all. I mean, there's this George Carlin quote, which I love. He said, everyone driving slower than me is an idiot, and everyone driving faster than me is a maniac, right? Just like we think our way is the right way. Everybody should be like us, but you have to have them all. I mean, we balance each other out. The eagle balances out the dove, the parrot balances out the owl. You know, you gotta have a little of everything.
All right. So how much is this based on merit? You know, can somebody be an eagle like in their own head, but they don't really like the eagle wants to be in charge. That's a classic thing, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are, right?
Yeah, you know, sometimes we're different in different settings that we go to, but not all eagles are in charge. I mean, you take somebody like Steve Jobs, who was definitely more of an eagle, but, you know, look, Bill Gates was more of an owl. And
that's true.
Richard Branson's more of a parrot. Howard Schultz from Starbucks, more of a dove. I mean, they drove tremendous success. They weren't eagles. Any style can be very successful, but your style tells you how you're likely to go about being successful.
Okay, so which would you rather work for, and which would you rather have work for you as an employee of the four styles?
It depends what you're doing. Look, if you're working in a nuclear reactor and you want to make sure all the buttons are set right, I'd be very happy to have an owl there making sure everything is perfect. But if you're, look, if you've got a project where you got to get out there and announce it and create energy and enthusiasm, maybe you want to hire a parrot. So it really depends on the job that you have. And look, any of these can be great leaders. I don't think there's anyone that I would want to report to or not report to.
Well, is there any that you think would be perfect for particular jobs? Like what about a salesperson? You know, like I've got somebody who's a parrot, definitely parrot, that works for me in sales and is doing an amazing job. But the typical salesperson, she's got a little ego to her too. But yeah. The typical salesperson is like that. But there are some salespeople that are different. I got really good at sales, but I think like I started off as the owl knowing a lot of information. Then I realized people didn't give a crap about that. They make decisions based on emotion. But then I became really, really knowledgeable and got all the information about everyone's emotions, what people were feeling, what their hot buttons were. So I approached the emotional side like an owl would, you know, where I, you know, made a flow chart of emotions and I was able to, you know, improve sales that way. Would you say any of these are better at any particular job like that?
Yeah, I mean, we're drawn to jobs because of who we are. You know, overwhelmingly, if I work with a group of pharmaceutical sales reps, tons of parrots. When I work with engineers, finance folks, accounting people, you're going to find a lot of owls. You know, nurses, therapists, counselors, you tend to find doves. Eagles do like to be in roles of authority. Sometimes a lot of doctors, attorneys, you can find in those roles.
Now, is it also like eagles, if they're not in a role of authority, they still... like they resent it, right? Like they want to be in that role of authority. So it's actually tough. I've heard this elsewhere, by the way, that it's tough to be the boss of a person who wants to be the leader.
Right. Know? Well, you know, it's not that eagles necessarily always want to be the boss. They just want to be in control of what they're working on. So if they're your direct report, they're somebody in your company, they're on your team, they don't have to be the manager or the leader.
They're the control freak. They want to have control over what they're doing.
Yeah, whatever they're working on, they need to have control. And so, yeah, they don't need to be the manager, but give them control.
Okay. How does this fit with the big five, your conscientiousness and openness and things like that, the big five, and anybody who's listening, go look up the big five psychological study, really, really good science there.
Right, right. And the big five, you know, are often used just to help people to really understand themselves, where I use the birds more in corporate America, teach them how to apply it. But they really apply. I mean, look, conscientiousness is if you're an owl, you're going to be highly conscientious. If you're a parrot, you're going to be very open. So you could take the big five and then map them to the eagle, parrot, dove, and owl.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Okay. So are there any other factors, other demographics like age? Do people go from, more older people have a tendency to be more owly as they get older? Is there any trend like that or any change as they age?
No, age isn't really a variable. We are who we are. Gender is not a variable. You know, we tend to think more men are eagles, more women are doves, but that's not true at all. That's just a societal stereotype.
Actually, you know, that's actually really fascinating because there was this study of wolves. Back since the beginning of when people were studying wolves, there was this myth of the alpha male wolf, right? And it was this big thing that so much has been made of it in popular culture. And more recently, and I say recently, this was like the late 90s, early aughts, early 2000s. It was actually a research intern who was going over the data of one of the top wolf experts that was looking at the body language, you know, and looking back and forth at the body language and at the camera footage and things like that, and found that the majority of the wolf packs that they were studying were actually run by women. That the alpha wolf was the female. And I think that kind of makes sense because, like, you know, in your household, your mom's in charge. Like they were always the mother. It wasn't like some upstart young girl that was in charge. It was kind of a matriarchy. But that was very interesting that the other experts saw what they expected, and they always saw the alpha wolf behavior. And there was always a dominant man, but it wasn't the most dominant wolf in the pack in every single situation if you look at it more objectively.
Yeah, you know, when I'm running a training program and running an event where I break people into eagles, parrots, doves, and owls, you really see it, that there's just as many men who are eagles as women who are eagles, and just mm-hmm. as many men who are owls as women. It's really just a stereotype that we have.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also I think sometimes culturally, especially a lot of women, they have to lead from the bottom in some ways. You know, like I don't mean the very, very bottom, but in the sense that you know, if they walk through the door and they're all like barking orders and commanding, everyone's going to think they're a bitch, right? That's sort of the stereotype. So there's kind of a more, you know, I think there's an adaptation that happens, and this could be, you know, tragedy, or it could be brilliant, or depending on how people say. I'm just trying to report, you know, kind of what is going on. That right. With a lot of women in boardrooms, I know quite a few women in some major Fortune 30 companies, actually, that you know, when they bring up an idea, it has to be in a friendly way, in a nice way, and you could kind of think, oh, that person's not an ego because they're not shouting and they're not, you know, throwing their weight around or something. But the fact is, real leaders don't do that anyways. You know, good leaders don't, you know, browbeat people. They you know, they get things done in a more friendly way anyways.
Right. And what you're saying there is that culture is impacting how we act. Right. And mm-hmm. and it's true on the reverse, too. If you had a man who in the 1950s who was a dove and was very sensitive, they might have been perceived as weak. But
that's true.
Take a father today who's holding his iPhone, videoing his daughter on stage, mm-hmm. and has a tear in his eye, and everybody looks at him and says, oh, that's so nice. Look how nice that is. Well, that would have been perceived differently 30 years ago.
Absolutely. So, yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So back then, the you know, the more sensitive, I'm a big sensitive softy on the inside. I'm crazy soft on the inside, man. So, you know, the sensitive guys had to act more tough. And today right. you can be more sensitive. But I think that, you know, there's also the lot of women, they have to act more tough. But if they overdo it, they could be penalized. It's a much, much finer, you know, right. show. This actually goes back to what I've been saying a lot, that business is a show business. Every business networking situation, everything, salesmanship, branding on your website, or you do a video, an interview right now, all of this is show business, because it is how people perceive you that will sink and swim you much more than you know. People, when they're trying to figure you out, they don't go to a spreadsheet and data. Only I did that when I was doing sales, but you know, even now people kind of go with their gut, and they go with a lot of these kind of instinctual feelings.
Right. But, you know, the power of understanding your personality is that I always talk about being the chameleon, because if you can project all four, the confidence of an eagle, the charisma of a parrot, the compassion and sincerity of a dove, and provide the detail and the information of the owl, you guess what happens when you demonstrate all four styles? Who do you appeal to? You appeal to everyone.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you can be the chameleon and display any behavior, you really have that branding that you're building, that you can appeal to anybody, not just people who are like you.
Yeah, and I often refer to it in sales as speaking to what their hurt is, you know, and hurt might be a harsh word, but it's more like I can speak to their biggest concern, what their biggest worry is, you know. So if I was a lot of the sales that I do, and I've sold millions, actually, but you know, even face to face, you know, at least hundreds of thousands of dollars, and a lot of the sales I do, a lot of it's asking questions. You know, you want to find out not just what somebody wants, but why they want it. You know what I mean? Sure. If I'm talking to a parent about, you know, the memory program, for example, you know, do they want to get it for their kids because they're ambitious and they want their kids to succeed? Do they want to get it so because they're afraid? You know, like all these different things have different answers, and sometimes they want, you know, like they're an owl and they want more information. They want to know that they're making the best possible decision. And sometimes if they're a right. dove, they want to make sure that everyone's going to be happy with it and they're not going to be blamed for making a bad decision.
If you can speak their language, they resonate with you, right? If you're talking to an eagle versus a dove, and you're just very direct and to the point and assertive with the eagle, that's great. You close the deal. But if you're too much of that energy with a dove, you push them away because they want to feel comfortable with you. They want to build rapport and connection. Mm. So you've got to learn how to resonate with all the different styles. And that's how the best salespeople can speak then the language of the person they're talking to. They can reflect their style back to them.
Now, is there a thing that, you know, if you try to become the chameleon and you don't quite do it right, you seem disingenuous, you seem like you're trying to fool them or fake them or something?
Yeah, if your intention is to manipulate them, then absolutely. If your intention is because you want to satisfy their needs, then it's fine. You know, I'm a parrot. My wife is an owl. If I give her a tremendous amount of information of what I want, what I need her to do, she appreciates it. If I just say, hey, can you just do this? She'll be looking at me like, whoa, what do you want me to do? So if my intention is because I want to help her get her needs met, provide her enough information, then she'll appreciate it. She doesn't feel manipulated. She feels like I'm satisfying her needs.
Yeah, you know, the parents are the ones I have the least in common with, and I have the most difficulty trying to relate to. You know,
well, they're the people who are different from us, right? If you have someone who isn't your style, yeah, and you're very low on that style, those are the folks we have a hard time connecting with. But they're also the people who complement us in the sense that they fill in the gaps that we don't have. So
absolutely, that's why I said that salesperson is a parrot and does really well, and that balances out my more, you know, intellectual side, yeah, and everything. Yeah. Right. So what would you say, what's the best strategy to handle that situation? If you just like don't really get one personality type, but you have to work with it, what's the best way to approach that?
Well, you got to look to what the strength that they're bringing is instead of judging them for being different, right? As a parrot, and I look at the owl who asks me 1,000 questions and I'm like, oh, why can't you just do it? Why do you need all this information? Just act. I could look at it as they're driving me crazy, they're wasting my time, or I could look at it as, you know what, they're going to make sure this is done properly, and that they are asking the questions I would never think of. So yeah, you have to look to the benefit of what they're bringing instead of judging them for being different than you are.
Yeah, and I'm exactly in the opposite direction when I talk to a parrot. I'm like, well, why do you care how things look? Why don't you just look at what they actually are? I don't care what an image of something is. I want to know what the actual details are and everything.
Right. So in that case, look at it and say, you know what? Substance and style. I'm focusing on substance. They're going to bring the style. And you get both of them if you recognize that they're going to bring something else to the relationship.
Well, and I got to say that like in the industry that I'm in PR, it's tons of parrots here. So I absolutely am the outlier. I don't know how I adapted into that, but it's a different thing. And I know I have to play the game.
You live in a world of parrots in the PR social media world.
Every single media person we talk to is another parrot. Yeah. And that's all true about. And half the clients. But maybe that's the challenge. Maybe that's where I'm supposed to be, you know, and that's the challenge for it. Okay. Well, what would you say politically, if we have people, you know, and our family members or close friends or something have different political opinions, but they have these different personality types, what's the best way to approach an argument or a disagreement with people politely from these types?
Well, you know, the thing about politics is that it's really values-based. It's not necessarily personality-based. So, you know, I always tell people, look, when you have a values-based disagreement, just agree to disagree. If you have a disagreement that's personality-based because you just approach things different, that's what you can work out. But values-based conversations, they're actually coming from a different place.
I don't think most politics problems today are values-based. I think it's... there's a lot of propaganda and misinformation, first off, and there's a lot of things. But I think that framing an argument is really, really important. I think that's yeah, probably the thing that people don't do properly. If you start off, you know, and say, well, what is the goal of, like, let's say, I don't know, welfare. You know, what is the goal of welfare? Is it to support people on the bottom? Is it to help people become equitable members of society? Like, those would be two different goals, you know? Is it a redistribution of wealth? That's a different goal. Like, what are we trying to do first off? And then we can talk about the best way to accomplish it, you know?
Yeah. In fact, I use the styles to talk about that. I say, you know, you take a look at, let's say there's conflict in the workplace. Is it goal-based conflict, which is from the eagle? Because they just care about what are we trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. Process-based conflict, which comes from the dove, or comes from the owl. Like, how are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. Right? Is it interpersonal conflict, which comes from the dove? Like, how are we talking to each other? And then for the parrot, that's actually more of a values-based conflict in the sense that parrots are very concerned with the integrity and how people are treated. And, you know, they'll look at things and they'll go, that's just not right. You know, that's
right, not acceptable. But it'll be more like, I accept you as a person, but don't talk to me like that. Like, it's people like that. Whereas like, I might agree or disagree, but I think you're a good person as long as you don't talk to me in a condescending way or something like that. They care more about how they're treated.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it speaks to, if you respect them for who they are, and that we all can have different perspectives, then we're okay. It's when judgment creeps in, it's when the problem happens.
And that's very true. That's very true. All right. So I think we just solved all the problems in the world with this conversation. This has been great. I think this has been fantastic. I think people should find out more about you. Let me know the name of your book first off, if people want to look it up.
So my recent book is called The Chameleon, Life-Changing Wisdom for Anyone Who Has a Personality or Knows Someone Who Does.
That's a nice one. I like that.
That should cover just about everyone. So being the chameleon, learning how to be flexible and adaptable. It's on Amazon. It's on Audible, iTunes.
That's great. That's great. Well, thank you very much, Merrick, for being on the show. I appreciate having you on here. This has been great.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Brains Behind It. And remember to check out brainhackers.com for more. If you have a suggestion for the next interview or comment, please email editor@brainhackers.com. If you want a free 30-minute marketing consultation from Dave Farrow and his team, then email editor@brainhackers.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.